The challenges of farming are big enough, but when you want to make sure the farm stays in the family, then you've got more challenges. Bridget Finke joins us once again. Bridget, our resident attorney with Valley Crossing Law in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, the goal of most farmers is to bring the next generation, the next two generations, because you see so many grandparents and kids and their grandchildren into the farming operation. And you get excited that, yeah, they want to farm. And so now they're all in. But you got to do it right as far as who has control of what, so it's not a, you know, a, just a wild rush when things happen. As far as signing contracts, paying bills, buying things like that. What is the orderly fashion to do that? And how do we designate that responsibility on various generations?
So, first of all, we've got estate plan documents we can put together that help designate who has authority over what spheres. And so that may be powers of attorney for finances and property. It may be a trust where we pick back up trustees. And even within that trust, we can say, hey, this kid makes decisions as to the farm things, and this kid makes decisions as to our personal things outside of the farm. So we've got those kind of those documents, and those are designed to be self-adjust to what assets you own at the time, kind of covering all the bases of, you know, what you may have now and what you may have in the future. What ends up happening sometimes, though, is that, you know, somebody's talking down at the coffee shop or at bowling or something like that, and, hey, did you know you can go to the bank and you can put your kid on your account? And, you know, that'll solve it, right? That takes care of everything, because all we need to worry about is that they can write checks. And how that ends up happening sometimes actually can, you know, so let's say you've done your planning and you've got these great documents, but now you go to the bank and you make these changes and you've basically undone what you did because of how you put things on the title. So, you know, the first important thing to know is title is always going to trump whatever's in your estate plan documents. So if your will says everything goes to your kids, but you go to the bank and, you know, that nice lady Cora that works here, you know, you put her as payable on death on that account, who's getting that account when you're not here? It's going to be Cora, not your kids. And so it's important that whatever things you're doing on the actual titles to your assets match up with what those estate planning documents say.
How much leeway do we have about the authority if we put the kids on those documents or those accounts or whatever it is? Are there limitations, or once their name is on there, they've got as much right and access to it as I do, and I'm the original owner of it? Or can we limit that in some way so that we still have the control that we need?
So, you know, let's split the hair again, right? Even if you go to the bank and you say, hey, I want to add my child to my account, there's a variety of ways that they can be incorporated into the account. It has very different legal consequences. What ends up happening a lot is the child gets put on that account as a joint owner. And the way joint ownership of bank accounts works in Wisconsin is both joint owners have full access, ability, use of those assets. And you may be saying, well, that's great. That's what I want them to do. I want them to be able to pay the bills. And if I die, I want them to be able to, you know, use that money to pay for the funeral. But the difference is that money is treated like their own. And so their creditor, their, you know, anything that happens in their life, it's treated as though that's their money.
So somebody can come after them and in retrospect take your account because
absolutely.
They're on it.
And I mean, I saw some bad consequences of this when, you know, the economy was so bad and, you know, because usually what parents say to me, well, my kid's a good kid. They would never do that. Well, you know, I'm not so worried about them, but if that good kid loses their job and can't find a new one for 6 months or a year, you know, it could be that it's tough for them to pay their mortgage. And guess what? That bank who holds the mortgage, perfectly interested in finding whatever money they can get paid back for the money they loaned. And so joint ownership is something that I discourage. And instead, you can put that child on there with signature authority or POA on that account. Now they've got duties. It's not their money. It's them standing in your shoes, doing what's in your best interest, prohibiting them from self-dealing, from using the money for themselves, have to use it for your benefit, and it's not their asset. They just have access to it. And that's usually what people are looking for. The other part of the equation that you can do out that bank account is actually putting them as payable on death beneficiary, POD. That means whatever money is there goes to them when you pass away. But remember, if they're a beneficiary, again, it's their money. So sometimes people do that saying, well, I want them to be able to get the money and then they can pay for the funeral. No obligation to use that money to pay for the funeral. It's their money. So all those things that can seem just really routine, you know, hey, I walk into the bank and talk to the teller and, you know, add them to the count, big and different consequences as to the access and use of that money.
Go to a bank officer, not a teller. In other words, it takes some signatures, some documents to be printed up, and the teller's not responsible for that necessarily.
Well, and if you're working with an estate plan attorney, talk to them before you even walk in the bank know the right thing to ask for. I mean, you know, I talked to one of my brothers before I have a car fixed, right? So I know the right thing to say and know what I'm asking for. Just that you know exactly what it is that you're doing with that. But also just taking that temperature back, if you've done those estate plan documents, you go in there and you put payable on death on there when really the plan was put all your assets into your trust, maybe, so that we divvy out cash to non-farm kids and farm assets to farm kids. Well, if you've divvied up the cash already, now our trust doesn't work anymore. So it's just important, you know, we talk all the time about, yeah, it's hard enough to get the plan together, but then you've got to keep taking that temperature to make sure that all those pieces continue to fit together.
When you put a kid, say your kid's on as a signature, if they get the checkbook, can they get onto the bank and write a check for $2,500 and it's okay? Or if you're still alive, does that have to be run through you to okay that? Or if they get the checkbook, they can start writing checks and it's up to you to reprimand them or whatever?
It is. So think of that, you know, the signature authority or the power of attorney as a hand-holding authority. So you still have authority over your checkbook, but they also have authority over your checkbook. But they have authority with basically a list of rules. And so, you know, if they were, you know, self-dealing, hey, you've got repercussions back against them. And frankly, it can even rise to the level of theft sometimes. So sometimes that makes parents say, oh, I don't think I want to put the kid on there because, you know, I'm afraid of what could happen. On the other hand, I always think it's nice to have someone involved while you're still good, right?
Yeah,
mine's good because you get a chance to see how they operate and whether you're really comfortable with that or not. Because, you know, if you start to realize if you hand over some bill paying authority and you see that they don't keep a checkbook register and they don't balance, you know, down to the penny, oh, they just round to the nearest dollar. Hey, if you're one who reconciles your bank statement every month, you may not be real comfortable with that. So sometimes it's good to give people a trial run.
All right, so make sure you know what you're doing when you get kids and others in the family involved in some of the titles on your accounts. Bridget Finke, our resident attorney with Valley Crossing Law here, to tell us about that again as we get here towards the end of the year. Bridget, how do we get a hold of you?
You can call us at 715-688-4045 or check us out on wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
Merry Christmas.
To you too.
All right. Bridget Finke with us from Valley Crossing Law.